Hello, everybody. This is Marshall Poe. I'm the founder and editor of the New Books Network. I've published several academic books, and one of the things I found frustrating is my inability to get them picked up in the press. There really is no PR service specifically oriented toward academic books. Recently, however, I had the opportunity to work with a PR firm in New York, RLM, on a book that I recently published. And I have to say, they did a remarkable job at a very low price. And this got me thinking, I wonder if the New Books Network and RLM could provide a service that would promote academic books. So the folks at RLM and I put our heads together and we came up with a package. It is specifically targeted toward people like you, people who write academic books. So if you're interested, you should go to the NBN website and click publish your book, and there you'll find some information about the services that the NBN and RLM are offering. What we really want to do is provide you with value for money. As far as we know, no such service exists. This is the first of its kind, and we really hope it is successful, and we hope that it helps you get the word out about your academic book.
Welcome back to the New Books and Sports Podcast, a channel on the New Books Network. I'm Bob D'Angelo, and our guest today is Howard Rosenberg, author of Ty Cobb Unleashed, The Definitive Count of the Chastened Racist. Howard, thanks for being with us today.
You're very much welcome, Bob.
Howard is the author of a very thorough and detailed four-volume set about Cap Anson, Mike Kelly, and 19th century baseball. Howard, give the listener a little bit of background about yourself and your education and your interest in sports and history.
Oh, thank you for the question, Bob. I am a journalist by trade. I started out in Washington, D.C. right after college as a reporter for Jewish newspapers and got to cover, you know, the back and forth of Washington, both sides of the story. And I had to be fair to Democrats, Republicans, and even on pro-Israel issues, to be fair to all the different Jewish groups and have a sense of, you know, getting everybody's point of view in if you could. Although to a point. And then I ended up moving over to a Native American think tank and wrote about or edited things related to Native Americans and opened my eyes a lot more to editing. It's a thankless job. And then I branched out. I took a job that was relatively easy and ended up with a lot of free time and went to the Library of Congress, started going there to see if I could find a subject related to baseball history that would interest me. I was attracted initially by the notion of writing about first basemen. I liked playing first base, even though I'm relatively small growing up. And I figured the first basemen were kind of stereotyped as lumbering, you know, people who just didn't do much as fielders and hit pretty well. And I started researching 19th century for some reason. I thought that 19th century, I'm sorry, I started in 1901, moving into the 20th century. And as I moved into the 20th century, it got relatively boring. Baseball writing, some people like 20th century baseball writing. I thought it was very stale to a certain degree as it went on. So I moved back to 1900 and went back toward the start of baseball in 1871. And boom, in 1898, I ran into a player named Cap Anson, who became the first player to have 3,000 hits. He turns out to have been the giant baseball player of the 19th century as far as drawing funny coverage, humorous coverage, criticism, roasts that were, you know, quite well taken. The start of baseball history, there was no real rules for how baseball was going to be covered. The writers basically had a field day making little comments about the players, their personalities. As you may know, Bob, Cap Anson was gruff and quite talkative in a negative way toward his players, disciplinarian, but quite colorful, and he was captured very well by reporters. And then I branched out. My first book was about the role of the captain versus the manager. He actually held both roles, and a lot of teams had divided management, so it was quite a clash of who was in control off the field. The manager was, believe it or not, and on the field, the captain was. The captain was more of a leader for running the team during the game. And then my second book ended up branching out to a longtime teammate of Anson's named Mike King Kelly, who was really the Babe Ruth of the 19th century as far as being colorfully entertaining. He was the most popular player in Boston baseball history, personally popular, into the 1950s based on a book by Harold Kesey, The History of the Boston Braves, who he played for, the National League team, after playing for Chicago. So I did that. Then I did a book on, these are all books with Cap Anson in the title, Cap Anson 1, 2, 3, and 4. The third book was a book on tricky and dirty play. It's the definitive book on anything that went on in 19th century baseball on certain topics like cutting third base or second base. Second, cutting